Welcome to the Guaranteed Foods postgame show with Josh Fournier.
Another incredible grab from Bobby Witt Jr. He defies gravity.
Guaranteed Foods has been helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can too. Call 913-888-5000 or start eating right at GuaranteedFoods.com.
Deep to right and long gone. Jack Caglione, a two-run bomb.
This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan. Here's Josh Fournier.
Oh boy, let's enjoy this Sunday that we have been given by the baseball gods. Royals victorious 3-0. They take the finale in Anaheim. Winning the series, their first road series victory in more than 2 months, and it comes on the back of a Herculean effort from Noah Cameron, who is without question today's Guaranteed Foods player of the game, as he turns in one of the best starts we've seen. Well, one of the best starts we've seen since the turn of the century here in Kansas City. I had to catch myself. Like, are you really about to say this? But no, that's what the numbers tell you. 9 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk. That's it. The 27-year-old, the recently turned 27-year-old left-hander Noah Cameron, our Guaranteed Foods player of the game. It's just the second one-hit shutout that we've seen here in Kansas City in the last 30 years. That's how special this was today from Noah Cameron. So if you want to get in on the celebration, that's, you're more than welcome. But I do want to dive right into it when it comes to Noah Cameron, a guy that's likely still going to make another 6 starts, you hope, right? Royals have just, 37 games to play? Yeah, 37 games remain in this 2026 campaign. And as we approach the finish, we're certainly encouraged with what we've seen from Jack Caglione, even though his hitting streak ends today at 13 straight games. Cags takes an 0-for-3. He was intentionally walked in his last trip to the dish. We're encouraged with Cags. We're always happy about Bob. We're happy for Carter Jensen to pick up that knock and snap his 0-for-22 stretch. Jensen picks up his 56th RBI of the season. There are only 5 rookies in the sport with more stakes than Carter Jensen. So, yeah, obviously we're happy with that. That trinity of Royals baseball, right? Carter, Cags, and Bob. And I think we're okay with a starting pitching foundation of Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo. 2 all-star pitchers that we know are going to be a part of this team in 2027. But how are we feeling about Noah Cameron? I have never, not once, thought of Noah Cameron as someone that you hand the ball to in the postseason. Not to start the game, at least. Now, of course, he could take the ball. He could appear in the game. But not for a second, even in his debut, when he took a no-hitter deep into the game, like he did tonight. Noah takes a no-no into the 7th inning, throws 5 perfect innings, 6 1/3 hitless innings, and of course, completes the Royals' 2nd shutout of the season, but not once from his first start or all the way up until today in his 48th appearance with the Royals. Not once have I viewed him as someone that I'm going to rely on in the biggest moments, in the biggest games. I've never once viewed Noah Cameron as someone that is going to lead this team to the postseason. He could be a part of it, right? Shoot, last year I thought he could be a part of it. A guy that eats up some innings, gives you a chance to win more times than not. You know, you need guys like that. Guys that might not be the flashiest, but they get the job done. Right? Jeremy Guthrie, Chris Young, Jason Vargas. You need guys like that. And I thought Noah Cameron can be that guy, but do we need to start viewing the left-hander differently? That's what I want to get into tonight. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Again, Noah Cameron, today's Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game. Guaranteed Foods, start eating right at GuaranteedFoods.com. So I've been nerding out today, diving into exactly how special is what we're seeing from Noah Cameron. Keep in mind, this all dates back to his decision and the organization's decision for him to take even more accountability for his career. Start calling your own pitches, right? If you want that tempo to increase, we all believe in the work that you're putting in between starts. We know that you're prepared. So go out there and take charge of your career. He's calling his own pitches, and in the five outings since he started to, pitchers always dictate the game and dictate the tempo, but never more so than when they're calling their own shots, right? When they're reading the swings of the hitter. When they're reacting to what they see, what they feel, when they are truly the one in charge. You're going to be hard-pressed to find a more accountable individual in this game than a starting pitcher calling his own pitches. It's a pretty big move for a second-year big leaguer. And in those five outings, since he put even more pressure on his shoulders, Noah Cameron has an ERA of 1.19. 1.19 ERA, and that crosses 37 and two-thirds innings. I think about that. Five starts, 37 and two-thirds innings. So that's more than seven innings on average. So I went back and looked through the history of Royals baseball. Who else in Royals history has ever put together a five-outing stretch like this? There's only five guys that have ever done it. I'll offer clarity on who they are coming up in a moment, but first I want to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7965. How we feeling about Noah Cameron? You don't need to decide right now, but do you believe that you could go into the offseason believing Noah Cameron is a top three starting pitcher on a playoff team? Now, I want that to be the case because that would make this offseason a whole hell of a lot easier for this front office. Right? Because you know where I've been. I believe that Michael Wacha is the only guy that I would be comfortable giving the ball to in a postseason start. Not Lugo, not Cameron, and that's really all you have right now. But do you believe that over the course of these final six starts that Cameron could possibly make, could you arrive at the offseason believing that this is not just a good piece, not just a complimentary piece, but a tone-setting piece, someone that we can fall in line behind, not just next season, but moving forward? 913-586-7965. I think that's my cue to get to the people. So let's go to Jake in Virginia. Jake, you're hitting leadoff on the Guaranteed Foods postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, bud. It's always a good one to start the work week off with a win on a Sunday, go into Monday morning with a little bit of a smile on your face, knowing that the Royals weren't embarrassed. But, I mean, you're talking about going into the offseason with Noah Cameron as a top three guy and not just a rotation, but a competitive rotation. I mean, we got six more starts to determine. It wasn't that long ago that fans had this kind of support so quickly for Cole Reagans. know, in the summer of 23, he came in hair on fire with that great first impression. And now Noah Cameron, after this apex point of, hey, I don't have a leg to stand on to say, no, don't use an opener because I'm good enough, I don't need an opener. But let me prove that I am good enough to be a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. Let me call my own pitches. Let me determine my own fate. And lo and behold, with that pressure, he is making the most of it, and Royals fans should. No matter how the season's gone, Royals fans need to be excited about what we're seeing from Noah Cameron right now and hope that we see this for the rest of the season at least and end on a high note. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate all you do, man.
Thank you, Jake. Nice to hear from you. Noah Cameron, in these five outings since he's put the weight on his shoulders, he's holding opponents to a batting average of 107. That's the best in Major League Baseball. He came into the day second best in baseball behind only Dylan Cease, a guy that's making a run at a Cy Young Award, a guy that started the All-Star game. But now, no question about it, after a one-hit shutout, Noah Cameron, without question, leads Major League Baseball in this stretch with an opponent's batting average of 107. My game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jays Southland Tow. Royals win. They shut out the Angels. They take the series in Anaheim. 3-0 the final score. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll hear from Noah Cameron and get back to your phone calls and further clarity as to just how special, just what sort of rarefied air Noah Cameron finds himself in. It's all coming up next.
The Guaranteed Foods Postgame Show. Start eating right at GuaranteedFoods.com. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Here it comes. Swung on and missed. Strike three. The pride of St. Joe, Noah Cameron, blanks the Angels this afternoon in Anaheim. He throws a complete game shutout for the first time in his career. And the Royals beat the Angels 3-0.
That's Jake Eisenberg with the final call, the 27th out recorded today from Noah Cameron. He picks up the win. He's 7-8 on the season. He's the first Royal in history with multiple starts of at least 8 shutout innings with only 1 hit. First pitcher in Royals history to do that twice in a single season. So obviously, no doubt about it, Noah Cameron today is Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game. Start eating right at GuaranteedFoods.com. Noah Cameron, through these 5 starts, since he's taken control of the whole show, right? Since he started calling his own pitches, and I see on the text line someone's curious, how is he calling his pitches? Same way a catcher calls pitches nowadays, with the PitchCom device. That's a little remote, basically. A little remote on your belt. Has a bunch of buttons on it. You hit one button and you hear Salvi say, slider away. Hit another button, you hear Salvi say, fastball up. So instead of the catcher hitting that remote, Noah Cameron hits that remote. And the catcher can hear it because they all have microphones and speakers in their hats and helmets. Lugo does it too. Michael Wacha does it too. A lot of veteran starting pitchers do it. With the pitch clock, right? You don't have time to shake. And no, not that pitch. No, next pitch. No, you got to get moving here. So with the pitch clock and with the pitch comm device, if you know what you want to throw, let's go. Let's move this thing along. Because when you're on the mound, you want to dictate the tempo. You want to keep the hitters off balance. Someone on the text line says, well, Vern, what does this say about our catchers? Doesn't say anything about your catchers. Certainly not, doesn't say anything negative about your catchers. Says that, obviously they're not so self-involved that they take it personally that the pitcher wants to call his own game. And just think about it. Put yourself in the pitcher's shoes. Right? I have 15 seconds to throw this next pitch. I have four or five different ones to choose from. You know, this one's feeling really good, but what does the catcher want? Okay, you're telling me to throw a curveball. Okay, well, I'm kind of feeling the fastball, but all right, here's the curveball. Right? If you're not 100% committed to the pitch, it's likely going to show in your execution. So when you're calling your own pitches, when Noah's up there and he's not waiting for Carter or Salvi or Luke Maley to tell him what to throw, even though, of course, they discuss it in between innings. They've gone over it before the game, right? They have a game plan. They talk. But up on the mound, right? Nobody knows what feels best to Noah. Nobody knows better than Noah, right? And he also has quite the view of the swings that his offerings are eliciting from the hitters. So you read those swings, you read the body language, and of course you know how you're feeling. So yeah, you're going to be a little bit more convicted with each pitch. When it was my decision to throw this pitch. I'm sure there are plenty of pitchers that don't want to call the pitches because they don't want all of the blame. You know, they sleep a little easier at night knowing, well, you know, if the bozo behind the plate would have called the right pitch, maybe I wouldn't have given up that two-run game-losing, you know, bomb or whatever it might be. So, no, I don't think it says anything negative about the catchers. But I appreciate you listening. The text line's always open for you. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Noah Cameron, the 19th pitcher in Royals history to throw a one-hit shutout. The 19th to ever do it, but just the second in the last three decades of Royals baseball. Let's hear what Noah had to say after the game on the field with the great Joel Goldberg of Royals TV.
Wow, what are you feeling right now?
Yeah, that was awesome. Man, I almost gave it up there, you know, almost got taken out with Trout there at the end. But gosh, yeah, all the way through, it was just consistent. You know, obviously defense is making crazy plays. Just kind of, yeah, kept them off balance all day, and it was good.
It's such an obvious question. How badly do you want to finish it? Every pitcher wants to finish it. It doesn't happen much. You're only the second complete game for the Royals. Steven Kolek, the other, and I think the interesting stat we just heard is the last two Royals with one-hit shutouts going the distance. One of them's in the building, Mark Gubiza. This is like before you were born. And the other one was Zach Greinke, who you know plenty about, too. What does the adrenaline feel like now as you're, I'm sure, desperately thinking, I want a piece of Trout. I want to get this over with.
Yeah, I think, you know, after the eighth inning, obviously I knew pitch count was, you know, almost at 100, but as came, I was like, hey, I got one more. Let's go, you know, one more. Gosh, all of us feel, hey, we're going to be just as sore throwing 110, just as, you know, just as 90. So, yeah, obviously wanted that one, especially, you know, going eight a couple weeks ago twice. So, yeah, that's incredible, incredible feeling, and glad to get the first one out of the way.
You know, we've talked so much in the last few weeks about you calling your own pitches, and I don't think that's being overblown, but it's got to be more than just that because you've gone eight innings or more in three of your last four starts. That just doesn't happen in the game anymore. How have you had that endurance?
Yeah, I think just, gosh, I mean, obviously pitching is confidence. It's 90% confidence, 10% skill. So I just think, yeah, just obviously building confidence over the last few, knowing my stuff's playing, you know, I think the slider kind of helps open everything up, just filling up the zone and just, yeah, just having a lot of trust in the guys in the dugout, Salvi, Carter, whoever's catching. And then they, you know, obviously have some trust in me to keep going, keep us in it.
Last thing, I mean, there were shades of your MLB debut with the no-hitter going the way it did, and then shades of Minnesota where you went eight and that thing, you know, didn't go the way you guys wanted it to, and you complete it today. What was the game plan against these guys? Because you seem to have them up in the air a lot more than sometimes what you do.
Yeah, I think some of their weaknesses kind of played into my strengths. A lot of secondary heavy guys, you know, a little bit less fastball, which teams know I don't throw as many unless it's, you know, for effect, I guess. But yeah, I think it just kind of worked out as a good matchup. Obviously some great hitters over there, you know, put some nice swings on balls that I was kind of leaving over the plate, and some good defense. So I think it was just, yeah, one of those good days. So
It's been a good stretch. Congratulations. I'm not questioning your math. 90% and 10% does equal 100. I'd say more than 10% skill, but certainly a lot of confidence too. Noah, congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
I mean, he makes – listen, I mean, Yogi Berra said something similar like 100 years ago. It's a mental game, my friends. You know, we've all learned from Rex Hudler over the past decade plus about the importance of body language. And body language is just the manifestation of your confidence. Noah Cameron's been more than just good of late. He's been great. Five outings, right? That first one, he had the opener in front of him and then went 8 innings of shutout baseball. But in those 5 outings, he's thrown 37 and 2/3 innings while allowing just 13 hits. That's never been done before in Royals franchise history. Never. I mean, the closest I can find, James Shields and David Cone. James Shields back in 2013, David Cone back in 1993. They each had a 5-outing stretch in which they allowed a very few hits, but they still allowed 18 hits in that stretch with similar innings pitched. Cameron's allowed 13 hits, 5 fewer knocks, just absolute domination from the lefty. Again, our Guaranteed Foods player of the game. Let's go to Big T in Shawnee. Big T, you're on the Guaranteed Foods postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, I appreciate you, Vern. Good stuff, man. Way to lay it out there. That was nice. It's always nice to get the win on a Sunday, get us ready for the work week, and got the boys in blue coming back home against the A's Monday, so I'm looking forward to that. And I want to give a shout. Way to go, Bobby Witt. It's nice to see him get that power stroke back. Way to go, Bob. And then what about Massey? Another home run, another 3 knocks today. I tip my cap to that young man as well. But the real guy, to answer your question, we need to talk about is Noah Cameron. And Vern, I've felt like this, because if you're a follow the Royals and you're locked in, or just a diehard baseball fan, or just a fan of the game and pitching, you've noticed this guy. You said it last month and a half, 2 months. That dude has been lights out. He's grabbed a hold of what he needs to do. You mentioned the mental part. That was great, because now he's taking control of his own pitches, and he's feeling comfortable, and he's dominating. What he did today, you guys were right, that 2009 when Greinke did, that was his Cy Young Award-winning year, Vern, I believe. And Noah Cameron, I was thinking, man, this is going to be a brutal, brutal year. But he's made it much better. He's made it much nicer for us. Another piece, you're going, wow, this guy could be a piece. He could slide in. I'm comfortable giving him the ball as a third starter, the number 3 guy going into the playoffs.
You're already there. You're already comfortable.
Yeah, he is there. And what I'm leading to, maybe the Royals might have to make a choice, and he forces them, hey, we might have a number 2 or even a number 1. He's got several starts left, so the sky's the limit for him. But way to go, Noah Cameron. The future looks bright, and that's an excellent feeling for next year, because we need, Vern. But then, you know, what about the battery duo from the Show Me State? They sure as hell been showing us. Keep up the great work, and as always, let's go Royals. Choo-choo! Choo-choo-choo!
Yeah, I mean, a number 1, a number 2, I didn't even put that out there, Big T. And, you know, I think the reason why it – well, shoot, I opened up the show telling you, I've never thought of him as a number 3 up until today. And I'm not saying I'm there. I'm just saying it's now something that I'm monitoring. I'm begging by the end of this season that I get to a place where, yeah, I'm very comfortable with Noah Cameron being your number 3. And, yeah, I believe you could go to the postseason with him as your number 3 starter. I hope I get there. Now, one of the reasons why I think I've been hesitant or reluctant to see him in that light is the lack of swing and miss. But holy cow, 21 swings and misses today for Noah Cameron. He throws a career-high 115 pitches to throw his first career shutout. But yeah, wow. 115 pitches, 32% of them were either called strikes or swung on and missed. So a 32% called strike whiff percentage. You know, anything better than 30 is it's impressive. Yeah, I mean, the Angels offered at 57 pitches today from Noah Cameron. They swung on and whiffed at 21 of them. Okay, so that's 37%. 37% of the time they intended to hit the ball, they got nothing but air. Again, anything better than 30, 33% is you're doing really well, really well. And obviously Noah Cameron did really well today. And to offer clarity on just how well he did, just like UMB Private Wealth provides clarity around your financial future, let me provide clarity on Noah Cameron. So, I don't think you can underestimate the importance of innings. As I've grown in this game, right, covering this game, guys that can eat innings have just continued to go up and up and up in my book. I mean, I still appreciate the, you know, Cole Reagans and the Jacob deGroms and the guys that are sensational, but boy, to no fault of their own, just can't rely on them. That's why I've slowly fallen in baseball love with Michael Wacha over the years. So the fact that Noah Cameron in this stretch, since he started calling his own pitches, the fact that he's thrown 37 and two-thirds innings, that's the first thing that jumps out to me. We haven't seen a starting pitcher in Kansas City throw that type of work in a five-start stretch in a decade. It's been since Danny Duffy back in 2016 that any pitcher has logged this many innings in a five-outing stretch. Now, I know it's a small sample size, but again, it just goes to show you how special what we're seeing from Noah Cameron has been. But then, to eat up that amount of innings while limiting the opposition to the tune of an ERA of 1.19? So, not only are you giving your team more than seven innings every time you take the ball, but you are locking up the opposition. The only pitchers in franchise history that have ever had a stretch like this, and shoot, like I mentioned, if you factor in base hits, nobody's ever had a stretch like this, but just innings pitched and ERA. The only pitchers to ever have a stretch like this, the aforementioned Danny Duffy back in 2016, the Cy Young Award winning season of Zach Greinke back in 2009, the great Kevin Apier back in 1993. Brett Saberhagen in his Cy Young Award winning seasons. And then Flash Gordon back in 1989. So Noah Cameron is having a five-game stretch that puts him with the best pitchers that this franchise has ever seen, right? Greinke, Apier, Saberhagen. Again, that clarity provided by UMB Private Wealth Management. Do you have a financial plan? Well, if not, you need the Private Wealth team at UMB. They'll work with you to reduce the noise and provide a clear financial plan centered around you and your family's goals, dreams, and aspirations. Go to umb.com/private wealth to schedule an appointment today. Advisory services offered by investment advisor representatives through UMB Private Wealth Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Royals take the finale in Anaheim. 3-0 is the final score. Royals dominated the Halos this season, winning 5 of the 6 matchups. Let's go to Vicky in Shawnee. Vicky, you're next up on the Guaranteed Foods postgame show. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I told you that Cameron had it. He's had it for a little bit of time. When he took and made himself confident enough to do his own thing, this does not make up for last time Q took him out in the ninth inning. I will never forgive him for that.
That's ridiculous.
This is it. I can always count on our pitcher here.
Cameron.
Putting himself out in front of God and everybody to show that he has confidence. The manager has no confidence in him when he pulled him in the ninth inning.
Well, what are we dumping on the manager? What are you talking about, Vicky? What are we doing?
A week ago, I've heard enough.
It just makes absolutely no sense to me how you guys continuously do this. Whenever a player performs well, it's in spite of the manager. And when they struggle, it's because of the manager. When the Royals win, it's in spite of the manager. When they lose, it's because of the manager. Right, Jack Caglione, I don't even want to say struggled. Jack Caglione was rushed to the big leagues. Right, debuts in June of 2025. By June of 2026, he's about to take off and become one of the best hitters in the sport, right? Right. Go back to the beginning of June. Since then, Jack Caglione's been one of the 10 best sluggers in the sport. So, he's rushed to the big leagues, and in 1 year, he's one of the best sluggers in the game. In that 1 year where he wasn't yet one of the best sluggers in the game, you're crucifying the hitting coach, right? Everybody's blaming the hitting coach because... And yet nothing. You know, I haven't heard his name brought up once in months on this show. We're blaming the manager, we're blaming the hitting coach for everything going wrong, even though Salvi and Vinny were struggling. Reagans and Bubich were not consistent. Bob was just short of being that MVP, Bob. Mikel was just short of being that all-star Mikel. No, it was the hitting coach's fault because Cags wasn't a star yet. And now when Noah Cameron is having the best stretch we've seen from a starter in a decade, instead of acknowledging that, hey, the suggestion to maybe have him start calling his own pitches was a quality suggestion from the coaching staff. I just don't understand how we get to where we're at right now. Cags performing so very well. Carter Jensen, hopefully going to finish strong and put together one of the great rookie seasons we've seen this century. Noah Cameron turning it around. You know, I would like to think that the people that helped them arrive in the place where they're at today would get some of the credit. Now, lion's share, you know, a majority of the credit, of course, goes to the player. But that's why I'm also one to blame the players when they struggle in April. You see my point? Do you see where you're all being so very hypocritical? When things are going well, it's the players. When things are going poorly, it's the coaches. You got to pick one or the other. Either we're blaming the players and praising the players, or we're blaming the coaches and praising the coaches. Pick a lane here. I've been in my lane for more than a decade. I give the praise to the players and the blame to the players. Y'all need to pick a lane real soon. Royals win 3-0. We'll take our final quick timeout. Get back to your phone calls after this.
Welcome back to the Guaranteed Foods postgame show. Start eating right at GuaranteedFoods.com. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
And the pitch to Massey. Swing, fly ball, right field. Lowe is back, on the track, looking up. It's gone. It's a home run for Massey. It's his second of the series, and the Royals take a 1-0 lead here in the fourth inning.
Steve Stewart on the call as I try to ignore the text line. Steve Stewart on the call of Michael Massey's 11th home run of the season put the boys up 1-0. Bobby Witt Jr. would hit a solo bomb in the fifth inning, his 14th of the season. And then the Royals capitalize on an Angels error in the 7th and score a third run. That's our final score, 3-0. Royals win the rubber game in Anaheim and take the series from the Angels. So that home run from Massey coupled with the home run from Bob, that's $100 being donated to the Prostate Cancer Foundation. As this year, we've partnered with KCUC and they're donating $50 for every homer the boys hit this year. $50 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation is, listen, 1 in 8 men will face prostate cancer. Early detection saves lives. At KCUC, Kansas City's largest, most experienced, and most advanced urology team, you see the best in KC. Schedule today at kcuc.com. Michael Massey now batting .326 here in the month of August. Needs third home run of the month. Michael Massey hasn't had a month in which he hits more than 3 home runs since May of 2024. So, still has more than a couple of weeks left in August to change that. Yeah, good stuff today from Massey. 3 for 4. He's the only Royal with multiple hits. Let's go to KD in North Carolina. KD, you're on the Guaranteed Foods postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Cameron is what happens when your family, your city, your team, and your coaches believe in you. Thank you for that beauty, Noah. Way to slump, Jensen. Way to be you, Massey. Way to be you and get a home run, my superstar gazelle. Vern, I know you say this is their job, but I also think you see something happening. You see something gelling. I feel it. People who have played sports feel it. And all these guys are in. So I'm really hoping, reward them, John Sherman. Fix the pitching. Give them a middle-of-the-order bat. And I'm pretty sure these boys are going to pay off.
Love it. KD, appreciate the phone call. You mentioned the gazelle. Bobby Witt Jr. belts his 119th career home run. He's now 200 back of Salvi in the franchise record. Text line's always open for you, 913-586-7965. Sean in Liberty's already sold. He says that Noah Cameron is a top 3 starting pitcher on a contending team. Kelly in Smithville wonders if he's a number 2. Wow, man. I hope he is. It sure would make next season a lot easier if he is a top 3 starting pitcher again. I'm not there yet. Who cares what I think? Sure. But I'm not there yet. Not just yet with Noah Cameron being a guy that you hand the ball to for a big postseason start. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Let's head back inside that Royals clubhouse. Let's hear what Noah had to say to the media assembled out there in Anaheim. Audio courtesy of Royals TV.
Getting a lot of swing and misses, getting a lot of chase on him has been huge, and I think that comes a lot with confidence, conviction just behind the pitches. My idea, trying to set guys up, trying to play kind of games, with the hitters. That's obviously a big part of pitching is figuring out how to get guys out, sequence stuff, and that's opened up a lot of things. It's opened up the fastball up, cutters, back doors, cutters, front doors, just a lot of openness, I think, when I'm landing those first strikes and getting chase on.
On that Trout at bat, you get down 3-0 there, and apparently you were coming out if he reaches. I don't know for sure if you knew that or what was kind of your going through your head in that last batter.
Yeah, obviously, 2-0, I was like, gosh darn it. Kind of knew he was taken there. Obviously a patient guy. That's just a situation the hitters take, 99% of the time, and then, pulling the cutter there, I'm like, gosh darn it. So I kind of knew, that obviously pitch count was up, and you get, especially in a 3-run game, you let a guy get on base, it usually means you're coming out. So super thankful to, get that out. Even the last pitch was a ball, so thank goodness for him swinging. And, obviously great hitter, obviously super fun to compete against him. And it's hard to, you definitely don't want to throw fastballs middle to a guy like that. So just trying to nibble a little bit, and yeah, thankful we got the out.
When you get to a moment like that near the end of the game, how do you keep your head in it and not get too excited about what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, be excited about it. I think I was excited about it. You know, we were playing just really good baseball, winning, obviously. So I think you just stay in it and stay in it for the win. You know, obviously, the other stuff kind of got broken up, so, you know, no pressure, no stress. Just trying to make pitches and get outs.
You mentioned conviction.
There you go. Noah Cameron, who became the first Royals lefty with a one-hit shutout in 34 years, not since Dennis Rasmussen back in 1992. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe, who I can almost guarantee wasn't alive in 1992. Garrett, go ahead, buddy.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was born in 2007, so I wasn't alive. But anyways, Noah Cameron, yeah, I mean, he's been probably the best pitcher in baseball since over the last five starts, and it's good to see because I was just thinking the same thing. I think he can be this team's two next season. I think that he can roll Michael Walker one, Noah Cameron two, and Seth Lugo three. I think that's your top three, at least for the start of next season. You know, I just hope that he continues to dominate over these next six potential starts, and I hope to get out to a few more ball games this season and stop by your booth, Vern.
Yeah, I hope so. Appreciate the phone call, Garrett. Again, if you're coming out to Kauffman Stadium for this upcoming homestand, swing by, say hi. I'm located right across from the UMB Diamond Club. It's got a nice little booth, has my name on it and everything. Swing by if you can. Garrett, I love the optimism, but that 1-2-3 is not good enough. At least I don't believe it's good enough. And I'm talking about winning the division. You know, don't give me any of this wild card garbage. You know, oh, hey, all you got to be is 500. Well, that's ridiculous. I don't show up to watch my team go 500. I want to see this club win a division, right? But a 1-2-3 of Waka, Cameron, Lugo, I'm sorry, that is just not good enough. Hey, but you know what? There are, like I mentioned, 37 games to play. We'll see where the Royals are. And even as I say that, the Royals' rotation isn't the reason why they find themselves 23 games below 500. Royals today turn in their 52nd quality start. Only the Dodgers, Mariners, and Phillies have more quality starts than the Royals. Text line 913-586-7965. You know what? I am going to read this just to give everybody a peek of what I'm dealing with. And I know I don't need to deal with it. I could ignore it. But to my point about pick a lane, right? Either you're given the praise and the glory and the blame to the players or the coaches. This from the 816. Vern, I think the point is that if the coaches were responsible for coaxing greatness from Cags, Bobby, or Jensen. And see, I want to stop it there, but let me continue. Because that right there is ridiculous. Now we're not having a good faith conversation. Nobody said that they were. Who's giving them responsibility for coaxing greatness from Cags? Cags went sixth overall. What are you talking about? Nobody thinks the coaches coaxed greatness. They just built up confidence. They just do what all coaches are trying to do. Support these talented young men. No coach coaxed greatness out of Cags, Bobby, or Carter. Stop it. But anyway, let me continue with this ridiculous text. Vern, I think the point is that if the coaches were responsible for coaxing greatness from Cags, Bobby, or Jensen, then why can't they get greatness to come out of all of the starting players and even the bench players for that matter? It's either coaching or it's the admission that six out of the nine starters don't have the baseball talent to be a member of the team 3 years from now. That's a peek into the text line. Now, if you think that text makes sense, please call me up and let's discuss it. But yeah, for the rest of you, that's the goofy garbage I got to deal with. What are you talking about? Sadly, you know, that is sports radio. Thank you very much. JT Noah back at the studio holding it down on the ones and twos. Just said in my ear, that's sports radio. You're right. There are way too many people that get paid in sports radio that have ridiculous takes like that. Guys, it's not, and this, you know what, this is a reflection of why baseball and sports radio don't always mix well, right? Because it's not black and white. You want it this or that, then it never really is this or that. It resides in the gray area. And that's why when I ask you to pick a lane, of course, every now and again, there are exceptions to the rule. But you need to be honest with yourself. Okay, Carter, Bob, Cags. Yeah, you're talking about the rest of the lineup. Michael Massey, Salvador Perez, Nick Lofton, Isaac Collins, John Rave, Kyle Isbell. Who are we disappointed with out of that group? Salvi? Salvi's had a down year, no doubt. Maybe the worst year of his career, offensively. We're going to blame the coaches for a future Hall of Famer at 36 having a down year? Get real. Michael Massey's having the best year of his career. Nick Lofton's having the best year of his career. Isaac Collins is in the second year of his career and has been a league average player for the past 3 months. He's been what you brought him here to be. Kyle Isbell. You guys love Kyle Isbell. So what are we talking about? Where are the coaches falling short? Where is this admission that six of the nine starters aren't good enough? Furthermore, the reason why so many of these guys are in the lineup is because your all-star third baseman's been playing with the double-A team on a rehab assignment. Because your first baseman that went 30 and 100 has been playing with the triple-A team on a rehab assignment. And when they were healthy, they were both having down years. I know it sounds like I defend the coaches, but what I'm really doing is minimizing the coaches. They just don't matter as much as you want them to matter. Because all they're doing, they're just a support staff for the players. Trying to give confidence, give pointers, give help, be a shoulder to cry on, or an ear to listen. That's what all these coaches are doing, especially in baseball. It's a general manager's game, or it's a player's game. That's what it comes down to. So if you guys want to call me a defender of the coaching staff, go for it. You did that with when Mike Matheny was here. You said that about me. Said that about Ned Yost when he was here, and now y'all seem to forget that. Text line is open for you, 913-586-7965. Royals wrap up this West Coast swing, the final West Coast swing of the season. It's a 2-4 road trip, but as I always say, if you're only going to win one game, win the finale. And if you're only going to win one day of the week, win on Sunday. So we get to start the work week off right, get to start this homestand off right as the Royals welcome the Athletics to Kauffman Stadium for a four-game series starting up on Monday night, and then the Detroit Tigers come to town on Friday, coming to town for the weekend. I'll have a pair of tickets for you to win to Sunday's game against Detroit. I'll have those tickets to give away all week long as we get you ready for the, third to last homestand of the season. Now, the Royals have not announced a starter for Tuesday's game. It would be Michael Wacha's day to pitch. We'll see if there's any sort of adjustment, but I'm hoping to watch Michael Wacha tomorrow night, and I'm also very interested to watch Mason Barnett. Now, Barnett, the piece that the Royals gave up 2 years ago to acquire Lucas Urseck. We'll see what Barnett has as he returns to Kauffman Stadium to face the team that drafted him out of Oklahoma State. It's a 6:40 first pitch. I'll be on the air live from Kauffman Stadium with the on-deck show beginning at 5:30. Again, special thanks to JT Noah back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening and texting. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Take care.